The great machlokes between Korach and his followers against Moshe and Aaron is a good opportunity to take a step back and try to understand the Torah's general approach to machlokes. What is our approach to this? How do we understand the Torah's insights into something which we intuitively assume is a bad thing, but perhaps we need to understand this in a deeper and more subtle way? Let's start with a few statements of Chazal commenting on Psukim in our Parsha, and I think they are curious statements, but by analyzing those statements, it'll perhaps provide a roadmap to a deeper approach and understanding of this important and critical issue. Number one, Rashi comments that when you see the tremendous cataclysmic destruction that occurred to Korach and his followers, not only themselves were killed, but also all of their families, including children and little babies. So Rashi quotes from Chazal that this illustrates kamet kasha machlokes. There's simply nothing worse than machlokes. Because other punishments, you need to be at least bar or bar mitzvah. You need to be at least an age of maturity to get punished. And yet when it comes to machlokes, no one, even babies, are spared. And that's a very attention-grabbing statement, but it really begs the question, why? Why should machlokes be so bad? Secondly, the Torah tells us that Moshe tried to reconcile with Dasan and Aviram, and Rashi comments from Chazal on that attempt, Mikan she'en machazikin b'machlokes. We see from Moshe's initiative that you shouldn't try to perpetuate a machlokes. It's a very nice gesture that Moshe made, but this statement of Chazal seems to imply that anything short of proactively trying to make peace and shalom is considered ipso facto a form of perpetuating machlokes. In other words, it seems like Chazal are telling us it's not bad enough just that you are involved in machlokes. Even the lack of affirmative attempt to resolve a machlokes is considered a problem. Really? Is there such a thing? I am affirmatively, positively required, I'm v'chiyav, to quench machlokes, and anything short of that constitutes perpetuating, being machzik the machlokes? That seems a little bit harsh and a little bit drastic. Why should that be? Finally, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yud Amar Aleph, says, Kol machzik b'machlokes over balav. If you perpetuate a machlokes, you violate an isser. And at least, according to many opinions in Rishonim, not all, but many Rishonim say that it's a bona fide isser daraisa to be involved in machlokes. Not just a bad musar idea, bad midos, but an actual isser. Why should that be? What's the isser? To answer all of these questions, I think we need to take a step back and ask a more basic question, which may seem at first glance to be somewhat technical, but I think it's actually very profound and gets to the heart of the matter. How do you define machlokes? In other words, what is the difference between disagreement, which seems to be a natural part of the world and doesn't seem to be such a bad thing, and machlokes? Is every disagreement a machlokes? That seems to be obviously not true. But where's the line? Where is the line between healthy or at least permitted disagreement and clearly prohibited and very problematic machlokes? That's not an obvious question to answer. How do we approach this? I'd like to suggest an approach based on the thought of the Maharal. Mishnah Perkei Avos in Perek Aleph tells us, Mishnah Yudches, that shalom, the opposite of machlokes, but actual peace and harmony, is one of the three things that the world stands on. And commenting on that Mishnah, the Maharal says in his commentary to Perkei Avos, called Derech HaChaim, that machlokes is when an individual, or the two individuals who are fighting, each one wants hakol, wants everything, cannot imagine, cannot allow for the possibility that someone else would disagree. And in fact, because of this vicious clash of visions, ha'echad bitul ha'sheni ba'atzmo, each one wants to completely be mevatel, to nullify or cancel the other. In other words, what the Maharal is teaching us, I think, is so important and profound, and that is that the essence of machlokes, the problematic form of disagreement, is when it's not just a difference of opinion, but rather the bitul of the other, the cancellation, the negation of the other person, the inability to comprehend that despite another person's views or life decisions, that's not a sufficient reason to cancel the other person, or mevatel those views. If you don't realize that, then every disagreement will turn into a machlokes, and that is seriously problematic. That is being a baal machlokes. True shalom comes from a profound realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with different people who have different opinions. And yet, if you can live in ahava and achva with each other, that is the exact opposite of machlokes, because machlokes is the bitul, the nullification, the cancellation of the other person and his or her views. Shalom is not agreeing with everybody, but learning how to live with people who you disagree with, but to do so agreeably. Machlokas is when we nullify, cancel, or mavatal the opinion in the essence of the other person. If we are adamant that others must be kafuf to us, to bend to our will and our opinions, that is machlokas, not merely disagreement. The Maral further states later in Perkei Avos on Perek Gimel Mishnah Daled that part of the Kvod Shamayim, the great honor that is afforded to Hashem, is when all the different people who have different deos, but nevertheless are unified in service to Hashem. And therefore Hashem Davka made all of us unique and individual with our own opinions. And therefore, says the Maral, to be mevatel, to cancel people who you disagree with, is not just a ben adam l'chaveiro problem, but in fact it is a ben adam l'makom problem. It is a complete impugning of Hashem's ultimate purpose in creating the world the way he did, and it is seriously compromising his ability to genuinely achieve Kavod Shamayim. Perhaps one or two more ideas connected to Korach, which will illustrate this point in a very beautiful way. The Pasuk tells us, as we previously mentioned, that Moshe sent for Dathan and Aviram. He tried to reconcile and make peace with them. They didn't come. They resisted his attempts, and he got very angry. And the Medrash notes this, and after all, we could ask, you know, it's true they didn't make peace with Moshe, but they didn't argue with him. Why did Moshe get so mad? And the Medrash itself says, because when you're in a disagreement with someone and you talk it over, yesh lo nachas ruach, you feel better about it. But when that doesn't happen, you can't talk about it, yesh lo tzar. In other words, perhaps we see from this, in light of the interpretation we've been seeing from the Maral, that in fact their silence, their inability, or their unwillingness, I should say, to disagree with Moshe actively, to talk to him about it, their silence was strengthening the machlokas, since it expressed a bittul of Moshe and his point of view. And this, I think, is a profound lesson. Of course, there's much to talk about, but we can learn already from what we've seen the difference between disagreeing and machlokas.